responsibility end, but I think in some ways it's also easier to say, what is it that your responsibility doesn't end? And what I mean by that is I think there's this misconception by many people in a fragmented healthcare system and occasionally hospitalists that their responsibility ends at the other side of the wall of a hospital, and I strongly disagree with that. I think as hospitalists, our responsibility does extend outside of the hospital and into the post-hospitalization or discharge period. Exactly where that ends, I think, is a more difficult thing to describe. I think that one way that I feel comfortable as an individual hospitalist, and I try to model this to people that ask me how I feel about this, is that I think my responsibility ends when I've completed a good handoff to the next provider of care in some appropriate way. So if it's a high-risk patient that has multiple comorbidities and maybe social complexities, then I try to contact directly, usually through telephone, but sometimes I see the physicians in person, and occasionally I'll do it through secure email. I try to make sure there's a dialogue between the next provider of care and myself on those most complicated patients. So one is I think our responsibility does extend outside of the hospital. Two is that I think that the easiest description of when that responsibility is over is when you've completed a handoff, and that's been acknowledged by both the hospitalist and the receiving provider or doctor. And then the more ambiguous question you're asking is that I'm not really sure that we ever have an end to our relationships with our patients. When they come back to the hospital or if they don't come back and they're cared for by the next provider of care, it's still our responsibility to interact with the outpatient providers and provide them with as much information as they need from the hospitalization. It's up to us to, if the patient's readmitted and we know it, to either communicate with the provider that's caring for them, or if we're lucky enough to be caring for that patient again, to make sure that we try to mitigate the circumstances that caused the readmission in the first place.
When we talk about completing the handoff, the hospitalist is passing the baton, but the other party has to take the baton, right? I mean, just sending something by email and thinking you're done hasn't completed that circuit.
I think the most common mistake is that people say they did a discharge summary and they think that's the completion of the handoff. And I agree, a handoff or a pass or whatever you want to call it requires somebody to hand the baton, but then you don't complete that pass unless somebody actually catches the baton or the ball, or in this case, the sick patient. So yeah. I agree, there needs to be a receiving end. And that's what complicates discharges, is that hospitalists in general take care of any patient that comes through the door, and many of those patients either don't have primary care providers or don't have health insurance. In my own hospital, more than 1 in 10 patients have no health insurance. And so it becomes a much more difficult transition to the outpatient setting in that case for hospitalists. But we still have a responsibility to those patients after the discharge.
And can we say a little more about the form that responsibility takes if there isn't an obvious receiving physician to take the patient back?
I think that when there is nobody to receive the handoff, if you have uninsured patients, undocumented immigrants, for example, patients who didn't have a PCP and you can't hook them up, patients who are out of state or even out of country, all of these are common patients for hospitalists, believe it or not. I think that becomes much harder to find. I think we have a role in making that transition as smooth as possible. I don't think that our role extends to becoming the de facto PCP by telephone. So I think there is a responsibility to give the patient resources. So in my hospital, and many of my hospitals, the three of the hospitals I oversee, social workers will help arrange for low-cost health care. They'll provide free or sliding scale services, providers that provide free or sliding scale services to patients in need. And I think we need to do our best to get those resources to our patients, but I don't think it means that, and I'm not sure it's really good medicine to become the telephone PCP, for example. Even in the glory days of the 70s, we probably weren't doing a good job of educating our patients on discharge, of arranging follow-up care with the specialist. And I think hospitalists have, by the virtue of their practice, highlighted that problem and maybe have worsened it in some cases. And so it is our responsibility, whether we've highlighted it only or worsened it also, it is our responsibility to improve the discharge process.
By highlighting the problem of discontinuities, just even by the mere existence of hospitals, it gives doctors a kind of responsibility to deal with the problem that we've identified.
That, yes. And also, I think the problem has been there for a long time, but it's gone unnoticed. And I think it's gone unnoticed because it was the way it was. In 1984, I personally was hospitalized as a 15-year-old teenager in 1983, and the discharge process was as uncoordinated then as it was. was now. I'm not even sure I even saw my doctor. I didn't know my diagnosis, and I was sent home and had complications, and thank God everything worked out, but it's going to be the same story 30 years later. And so what I think what I'm saying is the discharge process has probably not been optimal for decades, that healthcare has gotten more complicated, and hospitalists have not made the discharge process when it came on the scene 15 years ago. They probably didn't make it any better, and they may have highlighted or spotlighted weaknesses in the discharge process, and they could have made it worse because of the siloed care. And so if you want to argue that we just highlighted it, the best case scenario, it's still our responsibility to fix it and improve it, like we have many things in the hospital, like the ED process for admissions in my hospital, like quality of care, like patient satisfaction. All those things have not been resulted from hospitalists, but we still need to fix it.
We certainly are well aware of Project Boost and have highlighted it many times in the magazine. Are there other things that you want to say about what SHM is doing to help its members understand this problem that needs to be fixed and their role in helping to fix it? What would you want to say to your members about what they should look to their national association for in terms of advancing the work they do in trying to meet this responsibility to prevent avoidable readmissions?
So I think there's a couple. I think Southland Hospital should be expecting SHM to advocate for change that doesn't reward, at least doesn't reward as much, for poor quality, like when there are inappropriate readmissions. And so I think that if I'm a frontline hospitalist, I want my society to try to make the world a better place and fix the broken incentives that are in place now. That's on a global scale. I think at an individual scale, I want my society to provide me as a frontline hospitalist with skills so that I can improve and fix the broken systems, including the discharge process. So there is Boost, as you mentioned, and I think that's a great project, and I've been involved with that. But I think there are a lot of other things that SHM has tried to do to give hospitalists the tools to make change. So there are things like the Leadership Academy, there's the Quality and Safety Educators Academy. Readmissions, although complicated and certainly, I think, deserving of its own project like Boost, really is just a big quality improvement initiative. And the society, I think, has many tools out there, whether they're academies or web-based tools or even networking. You know, there's the new HMX websites where you can network. There's lots of opportunities for hospitals to learn how to make their own hospital better themselves, not just relying on the society advocating for global change. And you haven't asked this question, but I do think that every hospitalist should ask himself, what is my personal responsibility to helping reduce readmissions, even when I'm working in a broken system? Because I think that really the readmissions issue is all about broken systems. It's about broken reward systems. It's about broken clinical systems. It's about multiple IT systems that don't communicate from one hospital to another outpatient site, etc. And I think that we as physicians are very good at workarounds. We need to try and develop systems that don't just work around this broken process, but actually try to make the readmissions process better. So at my own institution, for example, we have a standard, and we measure it, that the discharge summaries are dictated within 48 hours. The Joint Commission standard is 30 days. The discharge summary is, that's the legal communication from the inpatient setting to the outpatient, and 30 days is too long. And so we basically have said in our group, the bylaws don't support this, we're